Good morning. Welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. On this morning's program, we want to look at what the Bible teaches about once saved, always saved. That is a common statement that we find today in the religious world, and we're going to find really that the Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. The Bible teaches that we can be lost after we are saved. And so we want to examine this popular religious topic in light of God's Word. The once saved, always saved doctrine of man is taken from one of the points of John Calvin when he taught his theology in the 1500s AD. He taught five main points, and once saved, always saved comes from the last point. The first point was total depravity. The second point was unconditional election. The third point was limited atonement. The fourth point was irresistible grace. And the fifth point was perseverance of the saints. And on the fifth point, he taught that once a person is a Christian, he's always a Christian. And so we want to examine that doctrine this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. And the issue is not God's power to save. God is very powerful and he can save us, but God allows us to exercise our free will. The issue is not man's power to remain faithful. He can remain, and many often do, remain faithful all through their life, and they go to heaven. The issue is, does God's power eliminate man's free will? Does God's power override man's free will? And the answer is no. God is powerful, but we have to exercise our faith. And so it is a combination between God's power and man's faith. If you turn to John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus says that our Heavenly Father will protect us, but we also have to keep following the shepherd. John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who hath given them unto me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so look at that statement, no one shall snatch them out of the Father's hand. Twice it is mentioned. But it's also in combination with the sheep doing their part. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But the plain, simple truth is the sheep can stop following the shepherd. They can turn away. So yes, God is powerful, but man can also exercise his faith or his lack thereof, and he can fall away. When we are believing and following Jesus, God will protect us, and no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, we have this combined thought again between God and man. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, 3, 4, and 5, Peter's talking about our heavenly reward. And then he says in verse 5, who, Christians, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We are guarded by God's power, but it's through faith. That's our faith. And some people can stop having faith. They can stop believing. And so it takes both. The issue is not God's power. The issue is not man's faith. The issue is when those two work together, can man turn away from God's power? Can man not make himself availing to God's power? And the answer on both of those is yes. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, in looking at what the Bible teaches about this matter, we want to look at four things. We want to look at plain statements that a person can fall. We're going to look at examples. Number two, we're going to look at examples of people who fall. Number three, we're going to look at warnings against falling, and there would be no reason to have a warning if it's impossible to fall away. And then number four, we're going to look at the conditional if statements in the New Testament. And the conditional if statements imply that a person can fall away. Number one, plain statements in the New Testament that someone can and does fall from grace or fall away. The first one, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. you are severed from Christ. He's talking about Christians in the church at Galatia. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you are fallen away from grace. That's pretty plain and simple. Can a person fall from grace? Absolutely. Christians in Galatia who sought to be justified by the old law, which had now been done away in Christ, but they wanted to go back and be justified by the old law, Paul says, you are fallen away from grace. There's no question about that. That's a plain statement. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, when Paul is talking about the great apostasy, he says, but the Spirit says expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Some shall fall away from the faith. And so the Spirit says that, and we believe that. Man says, no, once you're saved, you're always saved, or you cannot fall from grace. But Paul says that the Spirit says expressly that some can. And so who are we going to believe, friends? Let us believe the plain Bible statements of falling away. I understand that that doctrine may be comfortable, and it may give people comfort and consolation and assurance, but it is a false comfort and consolation and assurance. There are plain statements that a person can fall. In Luke chapter 8, with regard to the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, those who hear the word, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Here is a believer who later falls away. In John chapter 15, when Jesus is talking about his disciples and they need to bear fruit, but if they don't bear fruit, they're going to be cut off. And we find in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. A person can stop abiding in Jesus, and he's going to be broken off and burned, like a branch broken off and burned. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer talks about Christians. For if we, he's talking about himself and the other Jewish Christians that he's writing to, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Christians can sin willfully and they can be lost. So these are plain statements with regard to falling away. The second thing that I'd like to look at are examples of those who fall away. There are examples in the New Testament of those who are right with God. They are Christians. And the passage in the context clearly indicates that. And yet they are told that they are fallen away. So plain statements tell us and clear examples tell us that you can fall from grace. The first one I'd like to read from is in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, for as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God, clearly these are Christians, and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. And so, a person who was right with God fell away. It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. They are so far gone that they won't come back. Jesus, speaking through John to the seven churches of Asia, says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, to the Christians who are at the church of Sardis, I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. I'm sorry, the Christians at the church at Ephesus. Thou didst leave thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. They were fallen. They're not right with God. And we have examples of individuals, and some of them by name. Judas fell, Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. Simon the sorcerer had been baptized into Christ, and he was a new Christian. And when he offered the apostles money for the power to lay hands and the Holy Spirit, to give the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, he wanted to give money to Peter so that he could do that. What did Peter say to him? Acts 8, verse 20. He had been baptized, verse 13. He was a Christian, just like all the others. But verse 21, you have neither part nor lot in the matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. And so, his heart was not right. He needed to repent. He had wickedness in him, and he needed to be forgiven. And that was right after he had been baptized into Christ. So yes, a person can fall. Hymenaeus, we are told, made shipwreck of the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul warns Timothy to be faithful and to war the good warfare, the spiritual warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Why? Which some, having thrust from them, made shipwreck concerning the faith, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. You cannot make shipwreck of the faith unless you have been in the faith. You cannot fall away from the faith unless you have been in the faith. 1 Timothy 4, 1. We find the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. We find that Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So these are individuals who err from the truth, and those who are believing, they cause them to err from the truth as well. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James writes to Christians, and he says, my brethren, see, these are Christians, if any among you, that is, among the brethren, err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall cover a multitude of sins. The death here is spiritual death. This Christian had erred from the truth. He needed to be converted. He's called a sinner. He needs to be brought back from the error of his way. He's headed to death. He has a multitude of sins. And so the admonition to try to get this erring Christian to come back, yes, a person can fall away. And we need to do what we can to bring them back. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, Peter talks about Christians who have escaped the world, but then they went back. 2 Peter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse with them than the first, for it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Here is someone who had escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the scripture, but now they're entangled. The last state has become worse than the first. So a person can go back into the world. They can turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And so, here's a clear example. And then turn with me to Jude verse 5. Jude verse 5. This is an Old Testament example about how that God saved Israel and brought them out of Egypt. But then those who didn't want to follow God, he caused them to be lost in the wilderness. Jude verse 5. I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things, once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He saved them, and then he destroyed them. Well, once you're saved, you're always saved. No, he saved them, and then he destroyed them. Why? The text says that they believed not. They stopped believing. when they got to the wilderness. And one of the main examples of that is in Numbers chapter 13, when they would not believe the spies who came back, the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, and they listened to the 10 spies who said that they're not strong enough to go into Canaan land. And God wanted to strike them all dead right there. So the Israelites, many of them, stopped believing, and those were destroyed. And we know in the book of Numbers, different examples of individuals among Israel who stopped believing, and God struck them dead in many cases, and they were not allowed to go into Canaan land. He saved them, but then he caused them to be destroyed because they stopped believing. And so, friend, we can do that very thing. So plain statements of apostasy, plain and clear examples of apostasy. And then number three, I want to look at some warnings in the New Testament concerning apostasy. And these warnings would not be necessary or valid if there is no way that we can fall from grace. Why warn someone about falling if it's impossible to fall? Why have warning signs on the road if those things on the road do not exist? Why put a warning sign about a curve up ahead if there's no curve up ahead, or a dead end or something along those lines? Warnings tell us that those things are actually real. Otherwise, the warnings are just deceitful and completely empty and worthless. But we have warnings that someone can fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, Paul talks about Christians there at Corinth, and he says you got to be careful so that you don't fall. Now, these things happened. He's been talking about Old Testament examples of Israel being unfaithful. Now, these happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's talking about falling spiritually away from God. Why say that, Paul, if it is not possible to do that very thing? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 2. In fact, the whole book of Hebrews, much of it deals with warnings against apostasy and falling away from Christ. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, take heed, brethren. We're talking about Christians, brethren, lest there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Brethren can fall away from the living God. How? They take on an evil heart of unbelief. They just stop believing God's word and doing it. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Again, talking to the brethren, looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. And so, these are clear statements about brethren falling away. Also, warnings come in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, we already looked at this. If we sin willfully, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 through 39. Hebrews 10, 38 through 39. The Hebrew writer says, if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. He's talking about the Christian. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Shrink back. And so Paul, the writer, whoever he might be of the book of Hebrews, Paul or someone else, is saying, don't fall back. Don't fall away from God. That's really the whole theme of the book of Hebrews. But there are other places in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5 when Jesus, through John, is talking to the church at Sardis. He says that if you will overcome, I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. There's no need to say that if it's impossible anyway to be lost. But Jesus is saying that if you will overcome and be faithful, I will not blot you out of that book of life. Otherwise, I will. And Jesus can take someone away and out of the book of life. Look at Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Paul said that he buffeted his body. He brought it into subjection. He exercised self-control to remain faithful to the Lord. And Paul says in verse 27, I run and I fight and I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Why say that if it's impossible for Paul to be lost once he becomes a Christian? But he says, no, I am very careful to exercise self-control so that after I've preached to others, I myself find myself not winning the race. I'm rejected. And so that is a serious possibility. Not only do we have plain statements of apostasy, not only do we have examples of apostasy and even warnings of apostasy, but we also have conditional statements in the New Testament. And these conditional statements, the word if, that means if we do what we're being told, then we will not fall away. For example, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, if we faint, we're not going to reap the blessings of heaven, but we shall reap if we faint not. It's conditioned upon not fainting. And so we have to keep being faithful. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14, for we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. What we started at the beginning of our Christian life, we have to carry all the way through to the end if we hold fast. We're become partakers if we hold fast. If we don't hold fast, then we are not become partakers of Christ. John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24, if that which ye heard from the beginning abide in you, you shall also abide in the Son and in the Father. Well, what if we don't allow that to continue abiding in us? Well, then we do not have the Son or the Father. We have to, that which we heard, the gospel, it has to continue abiding in us, believing it, obeying it, so that we can be in fellowship with the Son and the Father. There's all kinds of if statements in the New Testament, and these also teach us about the possibility of falling away. Jesus said, you are my disciples if you abide in my word. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23 of the importance of continuing in the faith. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. If so be that you continue in the faith. What, Paul? He hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. We have to continue in the faith of the gospel if we want to be found without blemish when Jesus comes again. Peter writes, rather, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, that we are to add certain things to our faith. And he comes down and he says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. If you don't do these things, mentioned in verses 5 through 9, then you will stumble. But we won't stumble if we do these things. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. We have to have a walk, a manner of life that is wanting to live faithfully in the light of God's word. So, we have plain statements, we have examples, we have warnings, and we have conditional statements. Friend, the idea that once you're saved, you're always saved, it is a most comforting and consoling doctrine of man, that is true, but wishing it will not make it so. Man preaching it will not make it so. Pastors and reverends and preachers and ministers saying it from a pulpit doesn't make it true. It's not found in the Word of God. Telling someone that they cannot fall from grace is like the devil telling Eve she will not die. God said, in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall die. And the devil said, you shall not die. Genesis 3:4. When the scripture tells us that we can fall from grace, and we come along and say, you cannot fall from grace, we are saying the opposite of what the scripture teaches. And we are deceiving and lying to our friends when we do that very thing. Let us only tell them that which is the truth of God's word. We have seen clearly numerous passages that teach we can fall. Now, to end on a positive note, God tells us how to keep from falling. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11, we mentioned that just a moment ago. If you do these things, you shall never fall. We need to have faith. We need to add to our faith knowledge and virtue and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And when we add these things to our life and practice these things, Peter says, you shall never fall. We can make it all the way through life if we are faithful. In Jude verse 24, God can keep us from falling if we will turn to Him. Now unto Him, God, that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of His glory without blemish. God can help us. He can keep us from falling and stumbling, but we have to do what He says. He's not going to do that for us against our will. We have to pray to Him. We have to read His Word. We have to worship Him. We have to do what He says in His Word. So God can help us and keep us from falling, but it's on His terms. God, and if we do fall, if we do sin, if we do what is wrong as a Christian, and we're headed to be lost, like Simon in Acts chapter 8, we are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, God tells us what to do. In 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John is talking about himself and other Christians. And so when we do fall, and that sin is in our life, we can confess that and repent of that and pray for forgiveness, and God will forgive us. Friends, don't believe what man says. Believe what God says. God says we can fall from grace, and we need to just simply follow that. But He wants us to remain faithful and gives us the help in doing that. If you've heard something this morning that you would like to study more and that you would like to get together and talk about, let's sit down with an open mind and an open Bible between us and learn from the truth of God's Word. We thank you for joining us this morning for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program.